Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 51. Eternal mind the potter is, and thought the eternal clay. The hand that fashions is divine, his works pass not away. Man is the noblest work of God, his beauty, power, and grace immortal, perfect as his mind, reflected face to face. Hymn number 51. The scriptural this morning will be given by Nancy from New Jersey.
1 Corinthians. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer with its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our
Father,
which art in heaven.
Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 143. Imposture shrinks from light and dreads the piercing eye, but sacred truths the test invite. They bid us search and try. Hymn number 143.
Thank you.
welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin each Sunday morning here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion. And we had another really good one this morning. So if you missed it, you can catch it on our website, plainfieldcs.com. You can also catch it on our YouTube channel. We have a Sunday school for children at 11 a.m. And that class is conducted via a teleconference number so that any child anywhere in the world can attend just by dialing in. So if you have a child of Sunday school age and don't live in the area, please call us. We'll give you the number, and we'd be very happy to welcome your child. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives saved through the study and practice of Christian Science. And at all of our services, we have a nursery available for infants and toddlers. Let's see, we are going to have another Bible study next Saturday, May 23rd. So check the website for study questions and please join us. That's next Saturday at 10 a.m., May 23. And this week, on Thursday, we will have a meeting of the members, which will take place at 8 p.m. And that meeting will be also aired on our teleconference number. So for those members who do not live in the area, you may attend by dialing our teleconference number. That's this Thursday, May 21, at 8 p.m. And we've been busy printing and mailing the June full-text lesson sermon booklet, and forum highlights have both been printed and mailed this week. And I wanted to point out an article that's featured on the cover page of our website, article entitled Age, attributed to Mary Baker Eddy. Excellent article. Everyone is welcome here, and that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony from Science and Health, the Christian Science textbook, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Shahidat from Maryland.
On page 624, a profitable study. It may help others to know that Psalm was really healed of severe illness through Christian Science. It is over 9 years since we first became interested in this science, and it would be hard to find a healthier person than I am now. I can go all day from morning till night, upheld by the thought that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I can truly say that I scarcely know what physical weariness is anymore. Before I came into science, the physician said that one lung was gone and that the other was a fatal tuberculosis. So from their standpoint, there was little left for me to hope for. We had tried every remedy that they had suggested. I had gone to the mountains but could not stay there on account of the altitude. And when they did not know what else to do, they said it would be better to go to England, that the ocean air would be beneficial. So we spent 3 months in the British Isles, and when I came back, I seemed much better, but this only lasted a short time. In little more than a month, I was worse than ever, and my mother was told that I had but a few weeks, or at most months, to live. At that time, a lady, a stranger to us, suggested that we try Christian Science. There was no prejudice against it, as we did not even know what it was. We knew of no scientists in the Western town where we were living. And when we were told that we could send to Kansas City for abstinence treatment, we thought it was absurd. We were then told that many people had been healed through the reading of the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health. And to us, this seemed a little worse than the abstinence treatment. But as we had tried everything we had heard of up to that time, my mother sent the book. It came in the middle of October, and we began to read it together. It seemed to me from the first that it was something I had always believed, but did not know how to express. It seemed such a natural thing. My improvement was very gradual, but I felt I was recovering. After the Christmas holidays, I started in at school and went the whole term without missing a day, something I had never done before. I finished my school course without missing a day. In fact, I had not spent a day in bed since that time. I feel absolutely certain that I now have two sound, healthy lungs. The hollows in my chest have filled out, and I breathe perfectly on both sides, rarely have a cold to meet, and have not a sign of a cough. People sometimes say, oh, well, maybe you never had the consumption. Well, I had all the symptoms, and they are there, every one gone now through the reason, through the reading of Science and Health. From ELB, Chicago, Illinois.
The lesson sermon for this morning can be found on page 14 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Mortals and Immortals. The Golden Text, 1 Corinthians. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. The responsive reading, Romans. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound?
God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein?
Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace.
But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life.
Bruce will now read.
I will read from the Bible. Deuteronomy. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart, and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. Psalms. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor, together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. Ezekiel. Then the Spirit took me up And I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. Matthew. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye devour widows' homes, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ephesians. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Revelation. These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how much thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city.
Elizabeth from Georgia will now read.
I will read from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Man is immortal and lives by divine authority. Being is holiness, harmony, immortality. It is already proved that a knowledge of this, even in small degree, will uplift the physical and moral standard of mortals, will increase longevity, will purify and elevate character. Thus, progress will finally destroy all error and bring immortality to light. Error begins by reckoning life as separate from spirit, thus sapping the foundations of immortality, as if life and immortality were something which matter can both give and take away. God could never impart an element of evil, and man possesses nothing which he has not derived from God. How then has man a basis for wrongdoing? Evil is sometimes a man's highest conception of right, until his grasp on good grows stronger. Then he loses pleasure in wickedness, and it becomes his torment. The way to escape the misery of sin is to cease sinning. There is no other way. Sin is the image of the beast to be effaced by the sweat of agony. It is a moral madness which rushes forth to clamor with midnight and tempest. To the physical senses, the strict demands of Christian Science seem peremptory, but mortals are hastening to learn that life is God good, and that evil has in reality neither place nor power in the human or the divine economy. The notion that animal natures can possibly give force to character is too absurd for consideration. When we remember that through spiritual ascendancy, our Lord and Master healed the sick, raised the dead, and commanded even the winds and waves to obey him. Grace and truth are potent beyond all other means and methods. Mortals suppose that they can live without goodness, when God is good and the only real life. What is the result? Understanding little about the divine principle which saves and heals, mortals get rid of sin, sickness, and death only in belief. These errors are not thus really destroyed, and must therefore cling to mortals until here or hereafter they gain the true understanding of God in the science which destroys human delusions about him and reveals the grand realities of his allness. God is the principle of man, and man is the idea of God. Hence, man is not mortal nor material. Mortals will disappear, and immortals, or the children of God, will appear as the only and eternal verities of man. Mortals are not fallen children of God. They never had a perfect state of being, which may subsequently be regained. They were, from the beginning of mortal history, conceived in sin and brought forth in iniquity. Mortality is finally swallowed up in immortality. Sin, sickness, and death must disappear to give place to the facts which belong to immortal man. As the mythology of pagan Rome has yielded to a more spiritual idea of deity, so will our material theories yield to spiritual ideas, until the finite gives place to the infinite, sickness to health, sin to holiness, and God's kingdom comes in earth as it is in heaven. The basis of all health, sinlessness, and immortality is the great fact that God is the only mind. And this mind must not be merely believed, but it must be understood. To get rid of sin through science is to divest sin of any supposed mind or reality, and never to admit that sin can have intelligence or power, pain or pleasure. You conquer error by denying its verity. the destruction of the claims of mortal mind through science, by which man can escape from sin and mortality, blesses the whole human family. As in the beginning, however, this liberation does not scientifically show itself in a knowledge of both good and evil, for the latter is unreal. On the other hand, mind science is wholly separate from any halfway impertinent knowledge, because mind science is of God and demonstrates the divine principle, working out the purposes of good only. The maximum of good is the infinite God and his idea, the all in all. Evil is a suppositional lie. The truths of immortal mind sustain man, and they annihilate the fables of mortal mind, whose flimsy and gaudy pretensions, like silly moths, singe their own wings and fall into dust. In reality, there is no mortal mind, and consequently no transference of mortal thought and willpower. Life and being are of God. The realization that all in harmony is unreal brings objects and thoughts into human view in their true light, and presents them as beautiful and immortal. Harmony in man is as real and immortal as in music. Discord is unreal and mortal. If God is admitted to be the only mind and life, there ceases to be any opportunity for sin and death. When we learn in science how to be perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect, thought is turned into new and healthy channels towards the contemplation of things immortal and away from materiality to the principle of the universe, including harmonious man. The purification of sense and self is a proof of progress. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Unless the harmony and immortality of man are becoming more apparent, we are not gaining the true idea of God, and the body will reflect what governs it, whether it be truth or error, understanding or belief, spirit or matter. Therefore, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Be watchful, sober, and vigilant. The way is straight and narrow, which leads to the understanding that God is the only life. It is a warfare with the flesh, in which we must conquer sin, sickness, and death, either here or hereafter. Certainly before we can reach the goal of spirit or life in God. When humanity does understand this science, it will become the law of life to man, even the higher law of soul, which prevails over material sense through harmony and immortality.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world.
Thank you.
Let's now sing hymn number 23. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. Blessed Christmas morn, though murky clouds pursue thy way, thy light was born where storm enshrouds nor dawn nor day. Hymn number 23.
Waking or sleeping, thy presence.
Let's now sing hymn number 93. Happy the man whose heart can rest, assured God's goodness ne'er will cease. Each day complete with joy is blessed, God keepeth him in perfect peace. Hymn number 93.
Read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth, matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Thank you.